universal interest of the prelude, long poem on Wordsworth's education. The prelude was addressed to Coleridge, who described it in the verse written in acknowledgement. An Orphic song indeed, a song divine of high and passionate thoughts, to their own music chanted. The story of Wordsworth's earlier life is told in the prelude. It is the long poem on my education. He says, it is a study in the growth of a poet's mind. It is of utmost interest to know what modeled the mind of Wordsworth before we study his works. The prelude shows the way. It is signboard on which it is written in bold letters. This is the way to the chamber of Wordsworth's mind. This is the way to that workshop wherein great thoughts were given the shape of great poem. Every student of Wordsworth's poem is bound to be interested to have a glimpse inside that chamber. Poets educate minds, but let us see who educates those who educate us. Poets inspire us through their spontaneous utterances and heart-stirring feelings. But let us also see who inspires them to utter what affects the inner springs of human heart. Universal interest of the poem, its message. Child is father of man. The prelude has a message, says Wayne Gardiner, for future generations, and that is the influence of childhood on afterlife. Think back of your childhood, says Wordsworth, as an explanation of the problems of your life. The child is father of the man. Modern psychology has no other relation. Thus, what was intended to be purely personal became universal. That is, in fact, the state of a greater writer. He begins from himself and then stretches on his personality to include the lives of many. It's a taste of every great writer that though the starting point with him is his own life, that what he writes has comprehensiveness. One person's experiences become experiences to which his human heart returns an echo. This is how great poetry becomes universal in its appeal. Wordsworth describes the common lot of man. His poetry is a charm that takes us back to those golden times, when we, too, suffrazely and spontaneously, and when our blood ran free, he summons us constantly with the finger of imagination to enjoy in spirit those early experiences and emotions on which he insists that the true life of man must be based. Here are quoted some passages in which the poet speaks of childhood in moving terms and affirms how it is very base on which the edifice of one's life can stand. Dumb yearnings, hidden appetites are ours, and they must have their food, our childhood seeds. Our simple childhood sits upon a throne that hath more power than all elements. O mystery of man, from what a depth proceed my honors, I am lost, but see, in simple childhood, something of the base on which thy greatness stands, but this I feel, that from thyself it comes, that thou must give, else never canst receive. Wordsworth's small poem, Rainbow, contains the thought similar to the one expressed throughout the prelude. In fact, that thought born of early experience on the basis of this long poem, manhood is the infant of childhood. This truth is not applicable to Wordsworth only. It is true for each one of us. Whatever we are when children goes a long way to indicate what we shall be as grown-ups. Child shows the man as morning shows the day. Childhood is the golden period, the most impressionable period of one's life, and it is then that, though unperceived, man's future life in the making. A reference to childhood as modeler of maturer years and an inspirer of man in the latter years of his life is made by Wordsworth at the end of Book 1 of the Prelude. Meanwhile, my hope has been that at my age, in invigorating thoughts from the former years, might fix the wavering balance of my mind and haply meet reproaches to whose power may spur me on in manhood now mature to honorable toil. Yet should these hopes be vain, and thus should neither I be taught to understand myself nor thou to know. with better knowledge how the heart was framed. Of him thou lovest, need I dread from thee harsh judgments if I am so loth to quit those recollected hours that have the charm of visionary things and lovely forms, and sweet sensations that throw back our life, a visible scene on which the sun is shining. Those early experiences in which the expanding spirit is disciplined and inspired by awe and wonder are the common lot of man. Every boy has experienced the same feelings of awe and reverence which both afflicted and consoled the boy Wordsworth as he stole a boat and rowed out stealthily into the lake. Attainment of just and noble life through nature. The prelude describes the attainment of just and noble life through contemplation of nature, in which, as in man, the infinite stands revealed. Nature in Wordsworth's poetry is not regarded as a background for his pictures of men and women, or as a mere mirror reflecting the feelings of human beings. But souls, in the words of Herbert Reed, Wordsworth's philosophy is not restricted to a philosophy of nature. It is the theory of the mind and its relation to the external world. The individual mind is exquisitely fitted to the external world, and no less exquisitely to the external world fitted to the mind. It is a marriage of distinct essences, and indeed the whole world, whole Wordsworth's conception of man and nature can be conceived under such an analogy. The exquisite functioning of this interlocked universe of mind and nature is for Wordsworth the highest theme for poetry. And that is the theme for the prelude, which poem is sure pointer to this problem of Wordsworth's poetical philosophy. To grasp this point is to have the key to Wordsworth's entire interpretation of nature. To miss it is to miss everything that is most characteristic in that interpretation. To Wordsworth, nature appears as a formative influence superior to any other, the educator of senses and mind alike, the sower in our hearts of the deep-laid seeds of our feelings and beliefs. It speaks to the child in terms of emotions of its earliest and steers the young poet to an ecstasy, the glow of which illuminates all his work and the rest of his life. This nature is a safeguard to wisdom and goodness. It is instinct with the irradiating presence of the divine in his adoration of it. Wordsworth creates is a mystical pantheism. Besides nature, the concrete humanity of the humble, of those who live in contact